Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
We're ready. And welcome back to Project Independence and You here at WCWP.org. We were speaking with Dr. Ahmed about the importance of sleep and sleep disorders and all issues related. And there is a great center at Winthrop, which we will give out the information during senior talk when we talk with Christina about what's happening in the town. Right now, we're here with Erin Bitkowski, who is a community educator at the Alzheimer's Association in Long Island, and we're going to be talking about healthy living for your body and brain. But one of the things we were talking about when you came in just a little while ago was kind of the stigma of being diagnosed or kind of being afraid if you feel you're symptomatic. I mean, I think that goes with a lot of diagnoses. People are so afraid to hear, you know, whether it's Alzheimer's or cancer or it's some other kind of condition. What would you like to say to the listeners about the kind of stigma or fear people have of going to their doctor and talking about it?
Well, I think that because of the changes, the nature of the changes that take place in the brain as a result of a disease that causes Alzheimer's or any type of dementia, there's a stigma that's attached to it because people have experienced changes in memory and cognition and behavior. Unlike other diseases, not to diminish any disease, they're all devastating, you know, in their own way. But because of these types of changes, people feel a sense of embarrassment. They feel it's a
diminished.
Reflection. Correct. Absolutely. They feel it's a reflection of their intellectual capacity, you know, their identity is changing, and it's very difficult for people to come to terms. They're unable, certainly as the disease progresses, people are unable to do things that they used to be able to do, and just activities of daily living become challenging. So it keeps
but not those, at the beginning.
Not at the beginning.
Right.
Not right.
So.
But people are afraid, and that fear keeps people from potentially getting diagnosed earlier rather than later, or it can keep people from, if they have a diagnosis, even in the early stages, lack of understanding, and again, the stigma, it keeps people from reaching out and building support networks and enjoying the moment. There's so many things that, unfortunately, sometimes people get to a point where they find themselves in a crisis situation, and they don't have support, and they don't have information, or they might not even have a diagnosis technically at that point. And then they're really in a position where it could be a crisis situation, and we want to try and avoid that. So,
what do you mean by that, a crisis situation?
Well, I mean if you're in the middle stages, and as the disease progresses, statistically, 6 out of 10 people with Alzheimer's disease will wander. And so
leave a stove on, do something.
Right, right. So they can leave the home. They can wander from the home and get lost and not be able to find their way back, which can ultimately end up in a crisis situation. Or they can, if they're living at home, and like you said, leave a stove on, put themselves in danger inadvertently because they're unable to navigate and complete the tasks of daily living like they used to because they have progressed, but they don't have a diagnosis, or maybe they're living alone, it can really spiral. So we want people, families, individuals to get support as early as possible, connect them to resources as early as possible. The Alzheimer's Association, we are a national organization. We're the largest nonprofit related to Alzheimer's disease care,
so
support, and research. Mm. And our mission here, you know, locally at the local level, we offer support groups. We do educational programs. Disease education is a very big component of the support that we provide. I'm a community educator, so we go into the community. We're trying to raise awareness. We're trying to open up the conversation about what dementia is, you know, the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia. There's a lot of misconceptions sometimes. Dementia basically is the umbrella term that talks about, it's basically the cognitive decline or loss of cognitive functioning, changes in memory, behavior, thinking, perception. That's dementia. That's an umbrella term. Dementia is caused by different diseases. There's more than one disease that causes dementia. Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. So 60 to 80% of dementia is caused by Alzheimer's disease. There are other diseases that cause dementia, but that's basically the difference. So the terms are related, Alzheimer's and dementia, but they're not technically the same.
Right.
But we want people to, so our educational programs specifically in my role, we have programs that raise awareness. We talk about the 10 warning signs, the basics of Alzheimer's and dementia. We have a healthy living for your brain and body, which is based on research that's being done really globally around the world. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of research being focused on things that we can do every day that we do have control over in terms of lifestyle that can really reduce our risks potentially of developing a disease that causes dementia.
Let me ask you a question, just kind of because we're talking about it. What if the person who seems to be maybe in a very early phase or the partner, the wife, the husband, the child, the grandchild notices before maybe that person does or the person doesn't realize? How do you approach somebody and say, you know, a little concerned.
Right.
You seem to be forgetful. It's probably nothing, but maybe you should see the doctor.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you think? Or is that...
It's a touchy subject for many families. Again, a lot of fear, you know.
So how would you suggest that it be approached?
Well, the truth of the matter is, just because somebody, and this has to do with some of the myths that surround dementia and Alzheimer's. So somebody could be showing some memory issues or, you know, some minor changes. That does not necessarily mean that they have Alzheimer's or dementia. So people can have issues with their memory, and it can be another medical condition. It is. You can have an undiagnosed infection of some sort. You can have a medication interaction. You can have a thyroid issue. I mean, there's several things that can be
stress.
You know, some anemia, major vitamin deficiency. So, in my opinion, you know, if it were a loved one for me, I would stress that something is going on. If the individual is on medications and so forth, you can say, listen, something could be going on with your medications. Maybe we need to change the dosage. You know, there's things, I'm noticing some things, and let's just get you checked out. And, you know, as an approach, so as not to mention necessarily Alzheimer's or dementia right off the bat, because it very well may be something else.
Right.
And whatever it is, you want to get it fixed.
Right. And, you know, here's a good point, too. It's like if you're worried that you have dementia or you have, you know, where, you know, some form of dementia and you're scared to go to the doctor, you know, you could be wasting a lot of time, and it could really be something a
lot
more simple. And
absolutely.
You've wasted so much time worrying about it.
And something simple and yet could potentially still be serious.
Right.
So it could be a relatively simple fix if you know what it is you're treating. But if you don't, if it's still left untreated, can be dangerous in and of itself, even if it's not Alzheimer's or dementia. Mm-hmm. So I always say just stress, if you can, that let's figure out what's going on. Something is going on. But if you had a cough and it wasn't going away on its own, you would want to find out what was the root of the cough. You know, if somebody, God forbid, had pneumonia, you're not going to cure pneumonia by just saying it's just a cough or it's just a cold. You know, you want to get to the root of what the problem really is.
Recently, my mother lost a very dear friend from years when we were kids. And this woman's mother also had Alzheimer's, and she died around the same age that Carol died, which was about a year ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's got to be frightening. Is there, how does somebody who, I don't want to say the writing's on the wall, because it isn't, but if your mother had it and you're symptomatic, you know, what can one do in that situation? Because it's devastating to know yourself that potentially could happen to you and then it happens.
You mean for the individual if they're worried?
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely reach out to either express your concerns with a doctor
or genetic testing, if that
right.
was, you know.
Is right. there anything that one can do if you know that you are predisposed to it and it seems like it's going to, and it's inevitable? I don't know if it's ever really 100% inevitable.
Right.
What can you do? Is there anything that one can do? You know, is diet going to help save you a year? Is exercise going to push it back further? Is there, like, what are the, do you know anything about the studies?
Well, there are studies that are being conducted. As a matter of fact, the Alzheimer's Association has invested $20 million, actually, here in the United States in a lifestyle intervention study called the U.S. Pointer Study. And basically, this study that they're doing here in the United States is a result of studies that have been done in other areas of the world. So this is really a global issue. They're studying
right.
it globally. There was a large study
done. What is it? Tell us about what it is.
It's the lifestyle intervention. So basically, there's a lot of research being done on the impact of diet, physical exercise, cognitive stimulation, and social interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And following certain guidelines, you know, certainly cardiovascular exercise, it is linked to, at this point, they suspect that healthy body, healthy brain, healthy heart, healthy brain. There's a lot of connections between recommendations that they're making for people for their cardiovascular health
mm-hmm.
also apply now to their cognitive health.
Also because you're delivering more
oxygen
to the brain.
Oxygen to the brain via the blood and so forth.
And to the eyes as older people.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So the exercise component. Diet, the diet that's really being studied, that has a lot of data behind it right now, the Mediterranean diet,
yes.
is being recommended.
How does that
possibly
differ from the DASH diet, basically?
Well, the DASH diet is a dietary approach to stop hypertension in
you
terms
know what?
Of sodium.
We have not a lot of time with this segment.
Okay.
So when we come back, let's talk about diets and food,
sure.
and we can kind of talk a little bit more about staying physically active
physically
in general.
Right.
And you've been listening to Project Independence in You. We've been speaking with Aaron Binkowski, and our co-host is the lovely Iris Bunshaft, and we will be right back.